Our next case is In Re Wingen, 2021-23-22. Mr. Cassino.
Good morning. May it please the court. The board erred when it glossed over the factors that inform the public use accessibility type readily available standard as applied to the subject matter of the alleged public use, the display of the Cherry Star plant and its, the display of Cherry Star and its associated advertisement. And in doing so, the board below cited the case Epstein, which was some sort of database, if I remember correctly, like a Westlaw or Lexis type database. And in this, that predicate finding in that case was that the invention that was a subject matter to use was in commerce. There's no course, and that is what made that invention readily available to the public, or at least a reasonable belief.
This, of course, is a plant patent, and the plant was shown in the public without confidentiality. And so the rejection is public use. Of what use is the flower?
In this particular case, Your Honor, the plant is ornamental, as we stated. However,
So that was a use that's available to the public.
But the use was not sufficient to allow the public to determine all the claim elements that were material to patentability. This case is a reissue, Your Honor. And in the original prosecution, using the language from reissue cases, original prosecution, the examiner there rejected a claim that recited merely the phenotype, the radially symmetric pattern. After rejecting a claim, counsel and the inventor, I think it was the inventor and I think it was the representative for the predecessor owner to Wingen, interviewed the case with the original examiner, and the original examiner suggested to link the phenotype to the gene, the single half-dominant gene. And that, of course, was adopted. And that was put into the original patent, which issued. And then during the reissue process, and then this appeal, in an unrelated, unappealed issue, the board determined that that limitation was material and that the claim required both the phenotype and the genotype.
Maybe it was material to patentability, but why is it material to public use when the use of the flower was in the public and the public could see it? Now, take an insecticide, and publicly it was used to kill plants. Now the chemicals, now that's a public use, presumably. The chemical structure of the insecticide isn't made known by its use, but that would probably be a use. So all the aspects that require patentability aren't necessarily required for public use.
I understand that, Your Honor. But here in this case, when the original examiner required the linking of the phenotype to the gene, that also put into the gene the single half-dominant gene. And what that is a breeding characteristic of the gene. In other words, there's results of the breeding. So in this case, because that element was forced to be put into the claim, we're saying it's material, and that that's in addition to the phenotype itself. So there's the use would be the manifestation of this half dominance of the gene, and that's what makes our case a little different than the motionless keyboard case, Your Honor. And in the motionless keyboard case, it was aesthetic and an ergonomic type sense, right? But there was no actual use in terms of the transmission of data from the keyboard to the device. And the court used particular language saying that this was not the type of use that's relevant under 102B. Please don't think I'm quoting the case, but that's basically the upshot of that case. In addition, in the motionless, there was a display, right, that the keyboard itself, and there was no Baxter or Netscape type analysis in the sense that the elements that would be presumed to be in the prior art, say like transmission, much like the eligibility cases, quickly look at things.
There's also an argument that on the other side that this argument was forfeited by you by not having been raised before the board.
Judge, I'm going to be very careful about dividing the candidates for alleged public use. It's not forfeited, Judge. Originally, with regard to the Home Depot attendees, okay, they're the people that did not have possession of the plant material. Okay? We argued that having possession of the plant material was an important distinction. And what the examiner did is progressively up to the appeal of the rejection. He looked at Delano Farms, you know, the case on plant really heavily fact. And then he said, okay, well, this is not commercial exploitation. Next. Well, this is not on sale, the commercial aspect that we're talking about, right? And then with regard to Aeolus, where Way transmitted some code or whatever to Sun Engineers, he underlined the term commercial exploitation. So with regard to the public use commercial accessibility, that wasn't, at least at the end, our response was successful with the examiner, and we pointed it out on appeal. What the judge did in his substitute for the commercial aspect, in our view, is the citation to Epstein, because Epstein was in commerce. But why we're saying he glossed over is because he never analyzed Epstein, just summarily concluded that he would be in possession of these features.
Let me tell you how I understand this, and you'll tell me if I'm wrong. That there was an argument in front of at least the examiner, maybe it got to the board, about the whether Proven Winners was really different from WinGen. So whether Proven Winners was, which is the one that was, I guess, doing the actual display at the February 2011 event at Home Depot. And one of the issues was whether Proven Winners was itself a member of the public, which, if that's true, would put this into a category where a member of the public is the one doing the use. That faded away, I gather, in light Correct. Of some dispute about whether Proven Winners is close enough to you to be effectively equated to it. So that was not part of a basis of the board decision. The examiner also had said pretty centrally that the reason for the public use rejection was that this was a commercial exploitation. The board also didn't decide that. The board instead decided that, assuming that the user was the inventor, you, the owner, and not a member of the public, that that was, in this case, enough. And I think the argument that you're making now is that in those kinds of cases where it's the inventor doing the use, not itself a member of the public, there are requirements about the amount of information that has to be transmitted or received by the public when it's the inventor doing the use, and that amount of information was not transmitted here because the attendees at the February 2011 event could not ever see that an element of the claim was present, namely the half-dominant gene. Have I understood that right?
Yes, Your Honor.
And I think that the government's argument is, you never said that to the board. You never said to the board, there's information that is necessary for public use that had to be transmitted to the audience, to the attendees, and that's a forfeiture.
Judge, in our case, however, that issue wasn't raised. If the commercial
you did not seek rehearing to say that this was a new ground of rejection. So I don't see how you get to say here that you were entitled not to make the argument to the board. If you had said this was a new ground of rejection, that would be one thing, but you didn't.
Judge, the commerce angle was the substitute to citation to Epstein is what substituted for the commerce with the examiner. So the examiner had something plus, so this display plus this advertisement brochure, plus his commerce type comments. And the way we read the opinion was that the substitution for the commerce part was the citation to Epstein, and that was glossed over.
Do you think that the board instituted a new ground? I mean, it sounds like what you're arguing for us today is that things changed up at the board, and their grounds changed sufficiently that you didn't have to have raised this issue. That's what I hear you to be saying.
I understand
you to be saying that the board's decision changed the grounds for finding public use so much so that you did not have to have presented this argument about whether all the claim elements have to be displayed below. Is that what you're saying?
Our argument was you needed to possess the plant material itself in order to ascertain the features of the claim. And that position hasn't changed.
When did you make that argument below?
When we cited the citation that we said, just like in Delano, that these Home Depot attendees did not have actual possession of the plant material. That was made several times below, Your Honor, and numerously throughout. In terms of...
Do you want to give us sites?
Yes, Judge. Let me find...
Do you have a second chair that could help?
Yeah, she could help. I'm also, as a reserve time, can I go sit down and tab it and then come back?
Yes, if you... And you can... you want to save the remainder of your time?
Reserve the remainder of my time, too, Judge. Thank you.
Ms. Queller.
Thank you, Your Honors, and may it please the Court. This Court should affirm the Board's finding of public use. Oh, I'm sorry, should I wait?
You're in motion.
I didn't realize that would be moving over.
Please proceed.
I proceed. Thank you very much. Your Honors, and may it please the Court, this Court should affirm the Board's finding of public use based on the non-confidential display and advertisement of the claimed plant at a Home Depot event. This type of public display without any confidentiality restrictions falls directly within the type of activity the public use doctrine was designed to encompass. And WinGen has forfeited its sole argument on appeal that the genetic features of the plant were hidden and therefore that the plant was not publicly accessible. Now, WinGen has pointed to the fact that it raised throughout prosecution the argument that the public did not have possession.
Can I ask you a question? I did not see the board concluding or you arguing here that in the absence of forfeiture, it would be legally irrelevant anyway whether the genetic features were sufficiently understandable by the members of the public who were at the event.
That is correct, Your Honor. The board followed the Day versus Sanovian case, and we did as well. And in that case, it states that all the claimed features must be placed in the public's possession. And here, as the board found in its claim construction portion of the decision, the claimed features, it includes this genetic genotype, and that the plant phenotype is directly the result of the genotype. And so we are not arguing...
Right, so I think I understand that. I'm trying to understand how that would fit with the notion, I think, that Judge Lurie articulated earlier, that the use of the plant, that the plant is ornamental, its display is a public use. I think I'm hearing you saying more would be required had the more been properly argued to the board.
So I appreciate Judge Lurie's hypothetical with respect to the insecticide with the chemical structure being in use. And I think that makes sense with the fact here that the plant was on display, and that's really the entire use of an ornamental plant. So we welcome this court's guidance with respect to whether or not the fact that the genetic features, which is a claimed recited element, also needs to be informed or discerned by the people viewing it. We are just simply going off of the statement in the Day case where it said all the claimed features needed to be discerned. And in that case, it was, I believe, a drug that was given in a clinical trial, and the people that took the drug were the users, and they were not sophisticated enough and never informed of the actual chemical makeup of the drug, so it was deemed not a public use. So I'd say that was the analogy that we were working off of in this court's precedent. But I do understand the fact, and I agree, that you know the display and advertisement of the plant in its normal use does seem like the direct thing that should fall under the public use doctrine. And here, there was never an argument that this claimed genetic features were hidden. The board never had the ability to address that factual aspect. All that was ever argued was that the public was not put in possession. And, for example, that was repeatedly argued.
Can I just understand that the word possession has these at least two uses in our law. One is physical possession of the plant so that somebody could actually be holding the thing, which I think is what counsel on the other side was talking about earlier. But then there's this other notion of possession used in like written description law that includes mental possession of the combination of elements. Which are we talking about here?
So I'd say that would be a great question for Wingen's counsel, because all we have is the argument, and for example, in their appeal brief at Appendix 1699, they say they were not put in possession of the invention and could not practice or use the invention. So it was not made, this argument is not made with particularity, as evidenced by Your Honor's kind of question about what they actually were arguing. Were they arguing you didn't have it? Were they arguing you couldn't possess the phenotype, meaning you did not have a mental knowledge of the phenotype? Or were they arguing, as they're saying now, that you did not possess the genotype, meaning that you did not have the mental ability to discern what the genotype is? And under this court's decision in Bradium Technologies, you really do need to argue in order to preserve an argument with particularity. And here, saying just generally, you did not have possession, is either saying you did not have possession physically, or just generally you did not have mental possession, did not argue with particularity what it's saying now, which is you did not know about the genotype. And it really shows the stark contrast between that general statement that they say about possession and their opening brief now, at, for example, 24 to 26, where they talk about not knowing about genotypes, single half-dominant genes, heritability, not having intermediate phenotypes, breeding examples, et cetera. There's a really stark contrast here between what was argued below and what's being argued now. And
can I ask you, this is a pre-AIA case, is that right?
That is correct. I'm sorry, this is 15, it's a reissue, so yes, it is a pre-AIA case.
The reason I ask is that one important piece of the AIA change to 102 was the addition of this otherwise available to the public, which the Supreme Court in Helsin said didn't make any difference for purposes of unseating a pre-AIA clearly established body of law about secret art. I'm not sure we have a pre-AIA clearly established answer to the circumstances here, as indicated by your and the board's following day as seeming to require some kind of, possibly additional information conveyed. And I wonder if the new AIA language might contribute to a resolution of this kind of issue in a proper case on a going forward basis.
That is certainly possible. It is not something that we've examined that I have considered here. But it is a question with respect to the secrecy behind the genetic factors and whether or not just the public display of it in all of its, intended use would be sufficient for public use. But as Your Honor mentioned, we were working off of this court's precedent in the Day case, and that case was followed in the Delano Farms case. There is an argument that they made throughout prosecution regarding Delano Farms, but the main portion of Delano Farms that the examiner was relying on, for example, at Appendix 1473 to 1474, was the end of Delano Farms, where it's talking about the grape varieties on the side of the road. And there was not a public use found in that case because the court found no one would be able to discern what those grape varieties were just by driving by it. And that's analogous here, except we come out the other way, is whether or not someone would be able to determine what the claimed plant was based on the display. They never made an analogy. The examiner said, you know, I'm looking at Delano Farms. I'm talking about the public driving by the grape varieties in Delano Farms. So it's, this is distinguished from talking about proven winners being the people that were making the use. Now I'm talking about the public, meaning the attendees of the Home Depot event. In this case, members of the public were clearly informed of the claimed features of Cherry Star, and there was never a response, never an argument as they're making now regarding the need for genotype, breeding examples, hereditability. And then the board again raised this issue during oral argument and, again, never responded with any of the examples that they're saying now. And as Your Honors pointed out, there was never an argument that the board's rejection was a new ground of rejection, and Wingen did not follow the agency's procedures that would have allowed them to say, we believe this is a new ground of rejection. If we had known this was coming, this is all the evidence that we would have put forward, and thus allowed the board to do its job as the person to look at these facts in the first place.
Are you saying that mere public display without confidentiality is sufficient, or is that not your view?
Your Honor, I believe it's public use, while a question of law, has certain factual underpinnings. So here, whether the public display here without any confidentiality restrictions showing the claimed features of the invention, was that public use? Yes, but each case
by showing the claimed features of the invention? One of the claimed features here is single half-dominant gene, and that is not shown by displaying, I assume, by displaying the flower in public.
So, Your Honor, that is the argument that we argue is forfeited. But if this court declines to find forfeiture and reaches the merits of Wingen's arguments, first, we'd argue that they do lack merit because it's entirely based on attorney argument. There's no citation to the evidence that shows that you need to that you aren't able to discern the genotype. And I'm not talking about you or me, but I'm talking about the event attendees, which are the wholesale growers that have a certain amount of knowledge and skill regarding plant breeding, and would have knowledge about this being, not a wild type plant, possibly a mutation, possibly a hybrid. There's all that evidence that the board did not have a chance to pass upon in the first instance. So under this factual scenario of this case, we believe if the court declines to find forfeiture, overlooks the fact that all of Wingen's arguments are attorney argument, and the fact that they failed to address the skill of the art, we believe the most appropriate recourse would be to remand to the board to either allow them to address these facts in the first instance or to address the eternal alternative argument that it declined to address, which is the commercial exploitation issue. With one final point with respect to Epstein, which opposing counsel had raised, and I believe that he's referring to the board's citation of Epstein in its decision on Appendix 35. That was not in any way confusion of commercial exploitation and public use. All that was saying is that there's no requirement in a public use for an enablement inquiry, and that's the citation to Epstein. The pages, the discussion all surrounding that citation all apply the correct law, starting back on Appendix 31, where they cite the Day case, they cite the Netscape v. Conrad case, they talk about public use. So it's very clear from the board's decision that they were talking about public accessibility and not mixing up commercial exploitation. And that's also shown by the fact that at the very beginning it said, we don't need to address commercial exploitation. So I don't really see how the citation to Epstein really changes that fact.
And I think you just said enablement is not required for public use.
Correct, Your Honor. So there was no requirement that any of the event attendees need to be able to go home and make this plant. They would just need to be able to discern that it was due to the genetic features, if Your Honors continue to agree that that is a requirement. And we do set forth on our brief on pages 20 through 25 kind of some of the evidence that is in the record. Obviously, the board did not address this, but there is significant evidence in the record showing how, you know, a skilled wholesale grower, what knowledge they would have had about plant breeding that could allow them to come to the conclusion upon seeing this plant and the advertisement that it was due to a single half-dominant gene. Because, as in conclusion, because no arguments are ever made about breeding or genotype, we do ask that the court affirm and find Wingen's arguments forfeited. I'm happy to answer any other questions or cede the remainder of my time.
Thank you, Ms. Grella. Mr. Pessino has some rebuttal time.
Thank you, Your Honor. Picking up where we left off was the citation. Ms. Quiller is correct. It is 1699. It's the citation to Delano Farms in the bottom of the first full paragraph, and the same argument was made on 1518 before the examiner in that position.
Can Ms. Quiller hear your argument?
I'm sorry, can you say again?
Yes, Your Honor, I can.
All right. Yeah, while you were speaking sort of softly, I just wanted to make sure opposing counsel could hear you. Apparently she does.
Sorry, Judge, I misheard you. So that's the citation we were talking about. And in addition, there a couple pages later on 1703, it's a figure we argued in figure form about the Lundys. And they're the growers who actually grew out and took the plant material and grew it in Delano Farms in the analogy. And regardless of what we said, I think we got the examiner to not maintain that rejection on appeal. What the solicitors, Ms. Quiller just cited to you, 14, whatever, was the penultimate rejection regarding a different party. That was regarding what Judge Toronto was saying earlier, the proven winners folks. That rejection was raised and dropped. So that citation about having the gene and ability to reproduce, that was made and dropped by the examiner. So it wasn't relevant here. And as far as there's no enablement requirement, here the accessibility, and according to Epstein, was found in commerce. Right, or the accessibility in Baxter was because the NIH inventor invented that centrifuge himself. Things of that nature, the kaleidoscope case, the Beachcomber case, just being able to inspect allowed you possession of the Jepson claimed sole element of some sort of cylindrical tube. And throughout all this, what we've tried to do is we argued our best under the factors that inform the public use inquiry and in this analysis, we were consistent about that throughout. And in this case, we feel it would be manifestly unfair to find that we didn't argue. And if there's any other questions, I'm willing to answer them. My time's running low.
Well, thank you. We have your argument, and the case is submitted.